Welcome to the Beloit Daily News Sports Podcast. This is Josh Flickinger, along with a special guest, Rob Lucas, Thunder McRobert on Twitter, if you'd like to follow him and get his musings on sports and politics occasionally and all sorts of good stuff. And Rob, you know, we used to do this podcast regularly. I'm trying to get it back started. I've been hit and miss, but I feel like it feels good to be back in the saddle tonight.
Yeah, this feels, you know, just like... You know, like we're putting on that old pair of underwear that just feels more comfortable than new ones. This feels nice.
I would have preferred a different analogy, but Rob and I just actually spent a couple of hours, and we should, I guess, sort of advertise our availability to anyone. Wedding receptions.
Oh, we would do quite well.
Silent auctions.
Wedding receptions.
Loud auctions. Verbal auctions. We were the MCs at a fundraiser tonight for Clinton High School. And,
you know, I feel like we could do funerals well.
Well,
I mean, like, I feel like we could do a lot of different things.
It would depend
on farmers markets.
It'd depend maybe? On the dead. Yeah. I mean, I know. I think, you know, given the right circumstance, we could, you know, we could liven up a funeral, but
yeah.
A lot of times they're, you know, more morose occasions that don't necessarily need jokes about Mitch Trubisky.
But I've got them.
Yeah, no, I've got them too. I've got them too.
Were there different jokes?
But no, I feel like we knocked it out of the park. So we kind of tough act to follow here on the podcast, but we're going to do the best we can. Man, August, you know, mid-August, but really September, as we've talked about, I think, in the podcast in the past, is my favorite sports month. But we've got the confluence of a lot of different events happening here in the next couple of weeks. And obviously... we're not going to talk too much on this podcast about high school football because Rob no longer knows a lot about high school football.
You want to talk about high school golf?
No, I definitely don't want
to talk about that.
I definitely don't want to do that.
Okay.
I would like to talk about is, first of all, to tell people I'm doing a podcast tomorrow. I'll also have my Flix Picks online every Friday morning.
Fire coming early.
It's coming
with those.
Back. The Flix Picks are back. I had an unbelievable year last year.
Can I ask you, how much negative feedback do you get when you pick a team to lose, or in Clinton's case, only win by 20 last year? How much negative feedback did you receive?
You know, I do get a lot of, hey, saw your pick. We're going to prove you wrong. A lot of that, which is great. I'm happy to provide motivation, bulletin board material, that kind of thing. It is not my favorite to pick against one of my teams, but... of course, when they go together against each other.
Like a Clinton Turner, how much flack do you get from each side if you pick?
You know,
I don't know the last time you picked Turner to win that game.
It's not a ton. Okay. It's not too bad. But I do occasionally will hear from people, and it will surprise me. I've heard from coaches in the past, like, hey, I made everyone aware of your pick. They'll be riding, you know, reading it on the bus on the way over. And I would encourage them to download the podcast. If you subscribe to iTunes, Stitcher, I use Podcast Addict as my latest app. SoundCloud, I think we're on.
I'm only on iTunes.
Anyway, okay, but we're on iTunes.
Yeah.
It shows up right in your phone. As you're driving to the game, or not driving, well, yeah, driving to the game, riding the bus to the game if you're a high school kid or coach, dial us up. We're going to have one for you each and every Friday. That's a guarantee. I've fallen short of my daily podcast goal, but we have provided a couple of them, and that's better than nothing, and certainly one tonight, one tomorrow for you. So so Rob and I are going to focus a little bit more on not so much the high school football, or golf certainly, but what we'll talk about is more of the national stuff, and there's some really interesting stuff going on. Rob is currently outfitted in a Mitch Trubisky jersey that he ordered that came today, and as soon as it came out of the box, it went on your back, right? That's kind of how it went?
100%. I took it out, cut the tags off, and I've worn it ever since.
Okay. Issues. But so we need to talk about the Bears. I kind of want to get this out of the way. For those who read the Daily News, I'm sure most of you saw Rob's column that was written.
One of my best.
Just in a fury, possibly while nude. After this Bears game.
Not possible.
After this Bears game, when Trubisky admittedly played well for a half against the fourth string of the... Who were you playing?
It's the third string of the Broncos.
Broncos. Okay. Well, yeah, that's a good team. But possibly not the third string. But Trubisky did well. Rob was excited. He wrote a column immediately after. and it appeared in Friday's Daily News, and now I can only imagine the sense of anticipation you have for, I believe, Saturday night.
Saturday?
Packers are going Saturday as well. Just kind of let's get this out of the way for Dan Merrill, especially, who is just extremely positive and bullish about the Bears' future. See what I did there?
I do.
What do you think about Trubisky?
I think he looked great.
Yeah.
I think, and it's, I mean, it doesn't matter that he's playing against third string when you, like, you know, third string is, they're crappy. We all know they're crappy. He's also playing with third string, who are crappy. But it's the throws that he's able to make, the throw rolling to his right that he fired to the sideline, the throw that he threw toward the end zone, that he got another one rolling to his right where he just put it out of the hands. Like, he has ball placement that, as a Bears fan, I have not seen ever in my life. Like, I love Jay, I love Rex because I love quarterbacks who can sling it, but, like, they were always sort of the go-up-and-get-it type quarterbacks. You throw it up, Brandon Marshall jumps and gets it. You throw it up and you hope, you know, Bernard Berrien runs underneath it. I think Trubisky, for the first time in my life, actually has accuracy abilities that I've never seen before. And that's what excites me, is that maybe he's actually someone who can, you know, that I'm not, every time he throws it, I'm not hoping he doesn't throw an interception, which is how I felt with Jay, which was an interesting way to feel during every football game. But, like, I'm hoping that when he throws it, that he didn't throw a pick. With Trubisky, like, I'm hoping that I get to the point where he's throwing and I'm like, it's going to be a completion. Like Packer fans feel, you know, right. Like, I'm not saying he's not Aaron Rodgers, but, like, Packer fans feel like, oh,
he's
man.
He's not?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay.
Not right. yet. Don't,
I wanted to clarify.
Don't worry. He's going to jump that and just go right to Brady. He's going right. to jump right over the top.
Not much of a leap from Rodgers to Brady, but that's...
It seems to be about a four-step leap there, well, I think. So, where's it five now? I think it's a five-step leap now.
Yeah, got, it might be. Does he have six?
I think he's got six. I think that was just his sixth that he won.
It's an unbelievable run. And a great chance for seven, too.
100%.
I mean, they've got a great chance. But
as long as they get past Jay and the Dolphins.
So, given all of the positives about Trubisky, and I guess Glennon certainly didn't overwhelm anybody, what is your estimated time of arrival for this guy on the regular season stage?
I'm going to guess, unless Glennon is atrocious, you know what I mean? Like, if he is Craig Krenzel bad, and I could go deeper into the Bears' annals of quarterbacks if I need to. If he's Krenzel bad, I think he starts, like, week four or five.
Yeah.
I personally probably think they do bye week, because they've got, like, a week eight bye week, you know, like, kind of those mid-year bye week. I could see them going after the bye week, because their second half of the schedule is a lot easier than the first half. At least right now it looks that way. I mean, you don't really want to start him week one against the Falcons, who are going to be just...
You play the Falcons on week one.
Sure do.
But it's at home.
It's in Chicago. It's in Chicago. But that's not a game I'm super excited about him starting. Vic Beasley flying off the edge and,
yep,
you know, our Charles Leno just watching him go by. But I think I would almost, barring injury, I guarantee you he starts this year. And I would guess he gets 6 to 7 games, especially when you look at John Fox. If they finish 4-12, John Fox is fired.
Yep.
You know, so, like, he's not going to just keep playing Glennon because he's getting paid $18.5 million. If Glennon is terrible for three games and Trubisky looks like he knows what he's doing, he's going to start playing.
Well, that's something to keep an eye on for sure. And, you know, I believe the first Packer-Bear matchup is fairly early on in the year. So we might miss Mitchell the first time around, but maybe the rematch, I believe.
I think it's Monday night's the early one, isn't it, I think?
Yes, it is. In Green Bay. It's in September.
It's always in Green Bay, I feel like.
Yep. And then maybe catch you on the flip side, Mitch, at Soldier Field when... Mm-hmm. Things are a little bit more friendly as far as the environment goes. So, do you have a Bears, you know, we will go through, don't kid yourself, we will go through on our deluxe 6th annual, believe it or not, NFL preview podcast. It might be the 5th, actually. I think we started it my second year. But still,
probably.
5 years now on the Sunday.
I think you and I might have just done it
that could
first
be.
Year. Yeah.
The Sunday podcast NFL preview with a couple of local experts. We've got our first trivia. We've got our first Twitter questions, and we encourage you to send them in. JFlick1215, Craig Rustin.
Craig wants to know if Brock will retain on Sunday at SummerSlam.
I'm thankful, by the way, to
Craig,
say I looked at that and had no idea what it meant.
Craig, I'm gonna say no. He will not retain, and he will come back at WrestleMania next year. So you're welcome,
that
Craig.
That's the last wrestling we will ever talk on this podcast.
That's not true, actually.
I'm the one who brought up that Craig had a question. And I regret that. So anyway, we'll move on, Craig. Just stick to sports and not made up guys. And
sports entertainment.
So what I want to say is, you know, do you have an early Bears prediction? I mean, it's still going to be doom and gloom for this year, right? I mean, they're going to be between 4 and 6 wins. I mean, don't you think? Or is there a chance that they sneak 8-10?
I don't think they sneak 10 at all. I think 7 would be kind of a victory for them. I think that, like, barring health because they're not super deep, but their defense could be very good. Like, their front 7's very good. Their back end's, you know, a little better, where they said Amukamara is playing well. The safety they drafted, Eddie Jackson, out of Alabama's played well. Obviously, it's, you know, preseason, week one or whatever. But I think the defense could be very solid. And the run game's still there. The offensive line, you know, is still intact. It's still pretty good up to this point. You know, 6-7 wins could be there. You know, again, it's the NFL, though. Like, maybe a team gets, you know, things go hotter. You know, somebody gets injured. You know, Stafford gets injured for the Lions, and it's 2 extra wins that you weren't counting on or something like that. You know, like, things like that could happen. Or, you know, somebody like Leonard Floyd goes down and the Bears have no pass rush anymore and they lose, you know, 12 games again. But I haven't really looked at it too much. It's really going to depend on how that preseason kind of shakes out, because you still don't know what Kevin White's going to be able to do. You haven't seen Kyle Long play yet. You know, and again, like, Cameron Meredith, is he going to be a full-time starting receiver or just sort of like a guy who shines in garbage time? Like, there's a lot of things you have to see.
Well, you know, the Bears will start off with the tough one, obviously, at Atlanta. So, but this has to be, and this will be our final Bears questions. Bears question.
I'll bring them up again, but it's the final question.
Yeah, the final question I'll ask. This has to be the most excited you've been to watch preseason football. I know everybody hates preseason football, and I understand it. And I myself watch preseason football kind of with one eye covered, because you just want to make sure everybody gets up from the pile. And regardless of how well your team plays or doesn't play, if everybody gets up at the end of the play, you feel pretty good. So, but that being said, with Mitchell at the helm, it's got to be pretty, you know, pretty exciting times for watch preseason football for a Bear fan.
Any Bear fan who's not excited and glued to either the actual game or the NFL replay on network is insane. Like, this, like, I get the initial reaction of some Bear fans booing. Like, I was shocked that they did it, but I wasn't, you know, upset. I was just sort of shocked that they actually did something like that. But, like, to be negative and just think that this guy's going to be bad because they're the Bears, like, teams are not cursed. Like, it doesn't exist. You know what I mean? Like, it's bad coaching and bad choices are why teams are bad. That's why the Browns have been bad. They made bad draft choices and had bad coaches. If you believe that Dowell Loggins, you know, I don't know who the guy is, really, but maybe he knows what he's doing. If you believe in those guys, that they can develop somebody, then, yeah, he could be a very good quarterback. The Sid Luckman, best quarterback in Bears history, could be thrown aside. So, I mean, these games are actually interesting to watch for the first time because I actually have something to watch. Like, I know what Jay was. I knew what Rex was. I knew what Kyle Orton was. I don't know what Trubisky is.
Understood. Well, the Packers I'm going to boldly predict a 4-0 preseason record for the Packers for a couple of different reasons. They've got, they've got 4 quarterbacks who can deliver the ball. And B, they've got a bunch of wide receivers that can go up and get it. So that's usually a pretty good recipe for success in the preseason. They beat the Eagles. And now, of course, I'm well aware that preseason record means nothing, and I wouldn't argue otherwise. But I'm just saying, for viewing pleasure of the Packer fan, even though there were tons of missed tackles and typical penalties and, you know, things that happen in the first preseason games of the year, a lot to like there for the Packers, too. I see the Packers as a Super Bowl contender. All you have to do is look back at last year. They were 4-6, and nothing was going right, and they were injured, and their secondary was decimated, and they still had that guy with the ball that allowed them to win 8 straight games. And granted, they were not, you can't say they were close to the Super Bowl, because Atlanta really took it to them in the championship game, but they got there. And I think with just a little better luck defensively, I think it's a team that can compete for a Super Bowl. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, you're always going to compete for a Super Bowl, barring injury. Yep. They had a lot of injuries. Mm-hmm. I mean, as an outside observer who has watched Ted Thompson for how many years, I guess I would feel frustrated. that splash is never made.
Right.
And especially when you see, like, the Patriots do it this year.
Yeah.
The Patriots throw that money at Gilmore, you know, make the trade for the receiver from the Saints. I can't think of his name. It's not Michael Thomas. It's the other receiver. I always think Dante Stallworth is the first one
It's not
always,
Holston either.
No, I always think of Stallworth.
It's not Joe Horn.
No, it's too bad. He was
good.
Solid ants. I figure, like, maybe you'd want to see that splash at some point, but also, like if you, that's like I think with the Brewers, if you deviate from the course, if the Brewers had thrown, you know, Brinson and Phillips, you know, to go grab a starter, would that really have helped them
right
that much this year as opposed to 5 years down the road? Because right. as long as Rodgers is there, they're a Super Bowl contender, and you think you probably have 5 more years of him being at a high level?
As a Bears fan, how excited are you to hear that he wants to play and he's motivated to do a Brady and play until he's, the other day he was like 40, 42, 43, he was kind of tongue-in-cheek, but when you had Favre, who was, of course, I love Favre, but he wasn't nearly as proficient as Rodgers was, he began it after the 2003 or 4 season kind of waffling, and then, of course, 5, 6, and 7, you had no idea, and then 8 automatically, or finally it kind of hits the fan. But that's kind of what you had with Favre, who did, in fairness, just beat the crap out of the Bears for the majority of his career.
Right.
As opposed to Rodgers, who, you know, is pretty darn good and pretty darn efficient. Does knowing that he might be in your life for the next 5 or 6 years, does that give you great pleasure? Do you think, hey, this guy he's bound to go down the hill here at some point?
I mean, at some point he will.
Sure.
You know, just because, like, what's different about him and, like, Brady, Rodgers and Brady, is that Rodgers does move more, scrambles more, takes hits more often, you know, not a ton, but, you know, at one time he'll just be a little bit slower and someone will be a little bit faster and he'll get popped once, you know, and break a collarbone or something like that. Shay McClellan coming around
the corner.
Only play he ever made as a Bear and then is now a Super Bowl champion.
That's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yeah, but, you know, things like, you know, like, I'm assuming he'll be there for 5 more years.
Right.
You know, but if Trubisky's good and he's there for 12, you know, it doesn't hurt. Like, I would love to have a game where it's competitive on both sides and not like the crappy competitive like we've seen before. That's really only been like 1 year, I feel like, when both teams have been like competing at a high level.
I'm trying to remember. How did that one end? The 2010?
Poorly.
In Soldier Field, right? The 2010.
It ended poorly.
B.J. Raji just thrusting his pelvis all over that Soldier Field end zone.
It was not good.
His DNA is still scattered amongst the ruins.
That's why it's
there.
So slippery in that field.
It is. Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a game I'll never forget.
I've tried.
Yeah, well, we talked about that coming up to the game and just saying, look, this is the ultimate bragging rights. This will likely never, ever hear again. We've got a question from Trapped Badger, and he wants to know about Mitch Trubisky, right? Well, we've covered Trubisky.
Well, he wants to know from your perspective as a Packer fan.
Oh, well, I think it's a good question. I hate talking about the Bears some more, but I will briefly touch on Trubisky.
Told you we'd come back to him, guys.
I did say, I think I probably tweeted it out or had this opinion somewhere that was broadcasted or written that I never think it's really incredibly stupid or silly to make a bold move for a quarterback. Even when the Vikings, if you remember, Vikings drafted Christian Ponder, they said, well, he went 10 slots too high. And I said, well, if he's good, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he wasn't good. He was, in fact, terrible, as we'll talk with our friend Brent Swanson about
in
a couple weeks for the NFL Preview podcast. But you got to shoot your shot there. Mm-hmm. You have to do it. And they felt like Trubisky was the guy. So I don't disagree with the move. And, yeah, I mean, there's a definite chance that this guy has the tools, but it's just so early, 13 games started in college, and I am relying on a legacy of centuries now, of decades of Bears failure at quarterback. And we got so spoiled as Packer fans with Cutler that, you know, you just feel like it's going to keep going. But Trubisky, yeah, I'm not afraid of him, but I'm intrigued. I think he could be good. Let's move on, Rob, from the NFL preseason games this Saturday to something that we didn't necessarily think we'd be talking about on August 18th, and that is your Milwaukee Brewers. Now, with the Cubs' latest meltdown today, one game out of first place, with roughly 39 to play for the Brewers. A 9-game road trip coming up. You got to go to Colorado, San Francisco, and LA for three games each. San Francisco struggled, but they're always it's always tough to play. You know, San Francisco took two or three from the Cubs when the Cubs were playing pretty well a couple of weeks ago. Well,
it's such a big stadium, the bombs don't go out as much.
It will be 48 degrees somehow, despite the fact that it's mid-August. And the air will be heavy, and the ball's not going to travel. This appears to be a classic nightmare of a road trip on paper. The Dodgers, no one can beat them. The Rockies, we've always struggled in Colorado with that elevation. And then you know, like we talked about the Giants. What do you think the Brewers have to be in order to come back after this 9-game trip? How many games do they have to win for you to come back and say, all right, regardless of what the Cubs do, if the Cubs go 9-0, you're screwed. And if the Cubs go 0-9, you're fine no matter what you do. But if there's some middle ground that we assume with the Cubs, what do you think the Brewers have to go to feel good?
I mean, I think we had talked earlier. I think right around 500, 4-5, 5-4. Yeah. Because the nice thing is they have 7 more with the Cubs.
Yeah, 7.
I think 7 more games directly with the Cubs, where if you're 3 down, you can make those up real quick.
Yep.
So, like, you have to kind of, like, you can't go 2-7.
No, like, I don't think you can.
That can't happen. Even 3-6 is going to make it tough because the Cubs are home, and then they seem to always be home.
Yep.
And, I mean, they have, like Lester got lit up today. I don't know how hurt he is. Mm-hmm. Quintana's been not very good for them. And Arrieta's been a lot better recently. Hendricks has been okay. Have you ever watched a game on MLB Network, like an afternoon game,
Mm-mm.
where they just have the in-studio guys talking about the game that's going on, and they bring up all these analytical stats. Like, they talk about fastball speed and percentage of fastballs thrown, and they're showing all this stuff about Hendricks, about how his fastball is like a mile per hour slower, and that he's using his fastball more or less than before, and curveball more, and not you know, positioning the fastball where it should be, which is why he's having not as much success as he did last year, and walk rates up. I mean, it's really interesting to see that stuff, and you kind of do see that. I mean, the Cubs won last year with career years from how many guys?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at a Hendricks had a career year. Rizzo and Bryant had career years. Addison Russell clearly had a career year the way he's playing this year. And Schwarber comes back and is just a Goliath. And then he strikes out 9 at-bats in a row or something this year. Like, everything was going to revert back to the mean to a certain point, but they still inarguably have more talent than Milwaukee.
No question.
I mean, but it doesn't mean the Brewers can't win.
Well, yeah, and I think, you know, we made the same argument, and of course, 40 games ago, the Brewers were 5.5 games up or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a little bit, you know, easier to think, well, you know, maybe they could do it. And I thought, you know, at that point, okay, you're going to tell me the Cubs are caught up or even a game up like they are with 40 games left. I'd say no chance because of that talent disparity. But the fact is, you know, you just continue to see the Cubs shrink back to mediocrity. Every time you think, oh boy, they're going to start to win 6 in a row. And of course they did out of the All-Star break. Maybe they won 8 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And they went on that hot streak. But man, have they come back to the pack again. They're only, what? Well, we're a game out and we're 4 over. So what are they, 6 over?
They have 2 less losses. Same amount of wins, 2 less losses.
Right. So it's just, and that doesn't obviously work in the Brewers' favor. You want to get that even up in the loss column too. But now I don't think there's a reason, you know, looking at it the other side, I don't think there's a reason to think that the Cubs are all of a sudden just going to pull away and, you know, and finish with 93 wins. It's too late. It's not going to happen.
And their, like, their biggest bugaboo is their bullpen, which they tried to strengthen with Justin Wilson. And
it's bad.
It's bad. And that's, as a Brewer fan, we know that's how you lose games.
We're familiar.
You know, like today, they're tied up at 9-9. They're down by 9. They tie it up 9-9. And Carl Edwards comes in and blows a couple runs.
Justin
walks
Grimm,
some guys.
Yep.
Grimm comes in. Wilson walked 2 guys in a row, I think, when he came in.
Yep.
Like, makes you appreciate Anthony Swarzak a little bit more.
He's been good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and I do think, you know, it's very interesting how David Stearns played this, which is kind of a middle-of-the-road approach in going out and getting 2 rentals and paying next to nothing for him, a potential 4th outfielder probably that was stuck in the Brewers system in Ryan Cordell, and then the player to be named later, which usually is not a premier guy, and we don't expect it to be based on how much cash the Brewers picked up. But I think, you know, Todd Walker.
Neil Walker.
Todd Walker. Remember him?
I would take Todd Walker as well.
Neil Walker has been a great addition. It's only been a couple of games, of course, but you just see how, what he can do. He comes in and plays third when Shaw's down that one day, and then you know, helps him win a couple games, and defensively he's been good. And just when you plug up a black hole like second base was for the Brewers in the second half of the season with a, just a rock-solid guy, it's very Jerry Hairston Jr.-esque when they got him in 11, just plug a hole, and then all of a sudden it elevates everybody else, and, you know, it makes your bench deeper now with Sogard and VR there, too.
And at the same time, they could make, you know, like the Granderson deal is still rumored out there, who's, yep, like, I saw since, like, June 8th, he's actually hitting better than Michael Conforto is. Like, okay, his slash lines across, he has, like, a 390 or 380 on base or something. Mm-hmm. Like, he's played very well. He'd be a tremendous platoon.
Yes.
Because he's still pretty good, not great defender, but he and Broxton would be a nice platoon, but Broxton's hitting right now, and really VR has played better last 2 weeks or so, like things that you need them to be able to do, because clearly they're not going to be hitting, you know, 7 home runs a game like they were earlier in the year.
Yeah, the Brewers are not going to win the division in the next 9 games, but they certainly can lose it. I mean, there's no doubt, like Rob said, if they go 2-7, even maybe 3-6, I don't think this is a team that can get down to the Cubs 4 or 5 games and come back. If they just kind of stay equal and then beat them head-to-head, that'd be helpful. Do you believe in either the Cardinals or the Pirates as long-term figures in this pennant race?
I mean, we were talking a little bit before about they're playing each other right now, and I don't know who to pick.
Right.
I mean, I don't really know who I want. If they could both lose somehow, that'd be ideal. When I look at the Pirates, I feel like they have better pitching. Like Taillon and Cole, yeah, and Nova's pitched well this year, and we couldn't hit him for some reason the other day. I feel like they have a little bit better pitching, but I like they don't have the track history.
Mm-hmm.
You know that they're the track record and then the history. I guess I'll combine those two into track.
Yeah,
history.
No, I wasn't going to correct.
Thank you. Of what the Cardinals clearly do, and the Cardinals have had some guys not playing super well this year. Carpenter hasn't played great.
Yep.
They've been shuffling, I feel like, outfielders. You know, Fowler's been hurt. Grichik's been up and down, everything like that. But I don't know. Like, I guess I don't think about them because I just look at the Cubs, but it wouldn't surprise me if, like, the Brewers and Cubs beat each other up and then one of those teams wins 10 in a row and just slides on top of the division.
The Brewers are only 4 or 5 games, depending on what happened today. I saw Arizona won. Colorado, I believe, lost. So I think those two teams are tied now, and I think the Brewers are 5 games back. Maybe both of them, right around there. Any chance of the wild card? And I guess that would depend heavily on this. If you know, you go and you get swept by Colorado and now you're 8 games behind them, that's not going to work. At 4.5 is the current total. So, you know, but hey, if you go out there and for some reason sweep Colorado and Chase the Ace is back and Steven Vogt is back, you get some good vibes going, continue this winning streak, and maybe you can talk about wild card. But otherwise, the division has to be the primary focus right now, right?
Yeah, and I don't think that wild card's going to be super attainable unless an injury happens.
Yep.
You know, like say Greinke gets hurt or Goldschmidt gets hurt, you know, something. And you don't want to see that. You know,
no.
Blackman or someone like that gets hurt for the Rockies. It's probably not viable. It's the division or bust.
Yeah. Well, hey, we would have all taken that sitting here in mid to late August and with the talks of a legitimate pennant race. And it didn't look like it was going to happen as close as a couple of weeks ago when the Brewers were 2.5 out, really struggling after that series. It lost to the Cubs, dropped a couple of tough games on that Saturday and Sunday to drop to 2.5. It looks like the Cubs were taken off. They've come back to the pack. The Brewers now, after just a disastrous run against the Twins, have won 4 in a row. And now they go on this fateful road trip. So we've got our eye on the Brewers. We've got our eye on the Packers and Bears, and then, you know, it's only going to be a couple of weeks. I think the Badgers open up for some stupid reason on a Friday night, right?
They
15 days.
They have a little special opening night against Utah State, I believe.
A special opening night on a high school football Friday. I just hate it so much.
There was a lot of heat.
It should be.
You know, it's obviously not the Badgers, it's the Big Ten.
Yeah, no,
trying
it's
to steal
not, yeah.
a Friday night, you know. Ravens. Yeah, it's the first, yes. September 1st there. And, I mean, it's not like it's going to be a good game.
You know, no,
like
it's
they're
not.
Playing Utah State. They should roll over them by 40 points for the most part. But, yeah, I mean, I don't really like that idea. I like the Thursday games. I think Thursdays
are
kind of fun. And obviously Saturdays are, you know, for the boys and for college football.
Right.
But I don't really like the Friday nights that much because then I'm torn because I would like to go see Clinton play
sure.
most Friday nights, but now I have to watch the Badgers play and, you know, what do I pick? probably sitting at home and drinking and watching the Badgers in my basement, but yep. Those options are there.
Well, on that note, I think we'll wrap things up for this podcast. It's going to be a fun weekend. We will try to get together, technology and our schedules permitting, every once in a while. I don't want to commit to anything because that's gone badly in the past. So, but we hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Bullet Daily News Sports Podcast. Stay tuned. We're probably going to get one right on top of the other here as I'm going to talk high school football, Friday Night Lights, first of the year. And don't forget to check out the Beloit Daily News. I had 6 byline stories in the paper today. I'm serious. And they're all about high school football. 5 previews of Beloit, Turner, Broadhead, Bigfoot, Parkview, and Clinton. And then a monster capsule preview of tomorrow night's, that's Friday night's game. So check that out online, or even better yet, go buy one. That would help us. So thanks for listening, everybody. Rob, thanks for joining me. And stay tuned. We'll be coming up with another sports podcast very soon.